research just published in the New England Journal of Medicine estimates that some 4,600 people in Puerto Rico died as a result of last September's Hurricane Maria, largely due to delayed or unavailable medical care. The study authors caution that the work's not definitive. The true toll could be more than 8,000 deaths. But as corporate media revisit Puerto Rico for a minute, we should be mindful not to measure the cost of Hurricanes Maria and Irma solely in deaths, much less to imagine that all of Puerto Rico's current struggles can be traced to that disaster. In January of this year, Counterspin spoke with Julio Lopez Verona, founding organizer and then the outgoing director of Make the Road Connecticut, and an activist with the group Hedge Clippers. We asked him if, with the exodus of many Puerto Ricans seeking their livelihood off the island, combined with the influx of outside distress investors, the New York Times called them bargain hunters, we might be looking at the prospect of a Puerto Rico without Puerto Ricans. Here's Julio Lopez Verona.
Well, it's interesting because this had been like one of those things that was a conspiracy theory for a long time, but now we're seeing it actually happen. Over the last 10 years, as you mentioned, Puerto Rico has been in this great humanitarian crisis where the economy has plummeted after many, many years of changes in the tax code and colonialism and a long history of just neglect from the U.S. government. But within that, we've also had Puerto Rican governments that have decided that they want to incentivize the entrance of rich people to Puerto Rico through laws like Law 20 and 21 that actually made it almost a tax-free haven for people that invested more than $1 million. And while they did that, they actually raised taxes for working people in Puerto Rico. And this combined with, you know, extreme unemployment of 12%, which is the highest in the nation, with 45% or more people living under the, you know, poverty lane, you get this great exodus of people that are just desperate looking for work that they can't find in Puerto Rico, while at the same time you get just a flock of rich people that are going in and buying cheap, trying to make this the island where it's better to be a tourist than actually be someone living on the island.
Well, in the wake of the hurricanes, we saw this two-person company with Trump connections, Whitefish Energy, get a no-bid contract to rebuild the power grid. You see that kind of deal and you can sort of smell it, you know, and that deal was in fact quashed. But a lot of the predation that's going on, it's not, strictly speaking, illegal. I wonder if you could kind of explain what these vulture funds are. How does that work?
I usually tell people it's very, very similar to what happened in Greece and Argentina. These were countries that were in great economic depression, and the governments, the same as the government of Puerto Rico, had no way of sustaining its debt, and it had been passing, you could say, the ball of debt from one government to the other until Puerto Rico was in a position where it had no credit. So vulture funds or hedge funds have, like they did in Argentina and Greece, came in, they offered money for Puerto Rico, knowing that Puerto Rico wasn't going to be able to pay back. And about 3 years ago, when the government of Puerto Rico said, we're not going to pay back, these bondholders decided to start pushing back. And they did that by pushing back through pushing extreme austerity measures that have destroyed collective bargaining agreements in Puerto Rico. They have lowered employment when it comes to government employees, when it comes to any sort of protections for working people. Right now in Puerto Rico, we have less hospitals than ever, less schools than ever. We have privatization of public corporations as something that has been happening for the last 20 years. And with Maria, we see that it happens more and more. So it was very much conscious attack of very wealthy people that saw Puerto Rico in a position where it could be attacked. These hedge funds and corporations are moving forward a very neoliberal way of running the island. And they're doing so because Puerto Rico has no way of going into bankruptcy. Puerto Rico has no way of actually dealing with its debt. The solutions that the U.S. has put forward are board, which is called the Fiscal Control Board, that now control all the budgets in Puerto Rico. And ironically and sadly, the same people that are in the Fiscal Control Board, many of them are the same people that made this disaster happen. People connected to Santander, people connected to past governments. So in many ways, the remedy is worse than the cold for Puerto Rico. And with Maria, this has all been exacerbated. Failing infrastructure that is now completely destroyed. People that had no jobs that are just fleeing the island by drones. So there, the conditions were there for a disaster, and Maria just made it worse.
There was a recent series by the magazine In These Times and the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo in Puerto Rico that showed just how secretive also this stuff is. You would think that it would be fairly straightforward to just find out who, in fact, owns Puerto Rico's debt. You know, who are they? I know that Hedge Clippers is very interested to name names, but it is not that easy always to dig this stuff out.
It is extremely difficult. We worked to find that this person called Klarman, who's head of the Bapos Group, is one of the biggest investors in Puerto Rico, and he has about $1 billion in debt that he owns, and this person has been hiding for 2 years. I think at the end of the day, this has to do with the fact that what's happening in Puerto Rico is immoral, and when you're telling people they should not eat so that a billionaire can have one more Ferrari or one more apartment in Manhattan, these people start to hide because no one... I don't think anybody in their right mind has the scruples to do this openly and expect groups like Hedge Clippers and Centro de Periodismo Investigativo not to push them, and for people on the ground not to be outraged and try to do something against them.
Well, then I read these stories from the New York Times from the fall, and they're describing what's going on, but they describe these banks that are coming in as bargain hunters.
I think one of the biggest issues that happens is that for many years, the blame has been put on the Puerto Rican government and the Puerto Rican people. And what we find is that the conditions that have put forward the situation in Puerto Rico are a combination of colonialism, a combination of a U.S. government that doesn't care about Puerto Rico, and the fact that many corporations are actually running our country. And those corporations have, in many ways, taken advantage of the situation that Puerto Rico has. And I think the important part about this and the part that people should know about this, like Puerto Rico is maybe the biggest and the best example of what happens when capitalism has no restrictions and there's no way of controlling it. Because this is happening in Puerto Rico as an island to 3.5 million people. But when you look at Detroit and Chicago and other places, this is happening in smaller scales. And this is not bargain hunting. This is actually predatory practices that are destroying communities so that people, very rich people, can become richer.
That was Julio Lopez Verona, the founding organizer and then the outgoing director of Make the Road Connecticut and an activist with the group Hedge Clippers, talking with Counterspin about Puerto Rico back in January of 2018.